Well, welcome, and it's great to have you here in the East venue, those in the North, and also those that are at home. So glad to have you with us today. For those that are here in person, I just want to remind you of something. Next Sunday, next week, we are going to be opening up the West venue. We've been doing, before we opened up in October, we were doing some construction over there, and now it's finally done. So we'll be meeting over there next week. So just want to let you know that. Also, I want to let you know, over the month of December, we did some things. We did a thing where we have built a church and a school in Guatemala, and then we had an opportunity where we could sponsor kids to be able to go to the school, to go to school and have food and medicine and all this kind of stuff. And we just found out this morning that we are at 240 kids that have been sponsored by you guys. Thank you so much, so much. That's great. There's around 250 kids that are supposed to be going, so we're right there, right? You know, we're just about 10 kids shy. But what we also did is from Christmas Eve until the end of the year, what we did is we did a thing called Radical Generosity, where we was an offering, basically. And what that's going to do is that's going to cover kids until they actually have somebody sponsor them. So thank you so much for your generosity, man. That's awesome. And on behalf of these kids and their families, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, today, here's what we're going to do. Today and this month of January, I want to kind of go a different direction, because there's something about the beginning of the year where all of a sudden we feel like, you know, it's a new year, it's something fresh, so I got to do something different. So we're like, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to go to the gym. Oh, they're shut down. Darn. Okay, well, I'll just eat more. I mean, so right? That's kind of what we do. But here's what I want to do for sure, is I want us in the month of January, I want us to talk about how do we know God. And I'm talking to those of you that are followers of Jesus Christ. How can you get to know God better? And I'm also talking to those who do not know God. There might be some of you here today in person, or those of you online right now that are watching and saying, I know God, but how do I know Him better? Or I don't know God, but I want to get to know God. So that's what we're going to be talking about through the month of December. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think is really important that helps us to know God. But before I get into that, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever used FaceTime? Would you raise your hands? At home, you can raise your hand too. Okay, a lot of people use FaceTime. Our daughter is going back to college here, and when she's at college, usually a few times a week, she'll FaceTime us, and we'll talk with her that way and stuff. When I was younger, right? We didn't have FaceTime, right? You picked up, and you had these crazy things. Remember these things where you go like this and you go, remember these? Huh? Yeah. If you're my age or older, you know exactly what I'm talking about, aren't you? You know, you couldn't look at the phone and see the person, right? But now you can, and it's awesome. It just really kind of connects you with each other. Why I'm saying that is because I want us to kind of have like a FaceTime with God. And today and over the rest of this month of January, we're going to talk about ways to kind of have FaceTime with God so that we can know God. Or if we don't know God, we can get to know God. And so that's what we're going to look at today. I want to start off, and I want to give you a verse in Matthew. In Matthew, it says this. There it is. Heaven and earth will pass away, this is God speaking, but my words will never pass away. In other words, what God is saying is God's word will never pass away. Now, what is God's word? God's word is the Bible. And that's really where we're going to start out today. We're going to talk about the Bible. God's word will never pass away. Now, I don't know if you know how the Bible was created, but just let me give you a quick thumbnail on how it happened. It was written by 40 different people over 1,500 years, and most of these guys did not even know each other. They lived in different places and at different times. When somebody had wrote something, they're already dead, and here's another guy writing this other one. And so they didn't really know each other, but yet it's interesting because the Bible was put together, and from 40 different people over 1,500 years, the Bible has a thread all the way through the Bible. There is a God. He created everything. He created you and I. We sinned. we fell flat. We could not pick ourselves back up. We could not have a relationship with God by ourselves. We needed a Savior. Who is that Savior? Jesus Christ. And now, because Jesus Christ came and died and paid the penalty for our sin, we can now have a relationship with God that's now in our life and continue into eternity. This is the thread of the entire Bible. And it's amazing how it was put together over 40 different people, 1,500 years, that didn't even know each other. And yet here God is saying, but my words will never pass away. And then let me give you another verse. Another verse that tells us this in Psalm 119. It says, I have hidden your word in what? Say it again, in what? My heart. Can I ask you a question? Have you hidden God's word in your heart? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not and you're just kind of checking God out, that's totally fine, because that's where you're at. But if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, have you hidden God's word in your heart? Well, Mark, what does that mean to hide God's word in my heart? It means you're in God's word. It means that certain verses that you read, it just like pop out. And it's like, wow. And you remember that, or you write it down and you meditate on it and you think about it and let God speak through that to you. Do you ever hide any of God's word in your heart? Some people will say yes. Some people can just quote a whole chapter or whatever. Some of you are like, what's a chapter? What's a verse? If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, or if you are wanting to get to know God, we got to be in the Bible. We've got to be in God's word. That's exactly how we get to know him. Now, when I was a kid, I grew up in church. Anybody here grew up in church as a kid? A few of us. There we go. Some of you might remember, because when I was in church as a kid, they called it Sunday school. And so in Sunday school, they taught me a little ditty that it's always stuck with me, and maybe you've heard it too, right? I'm gonna start it off, and you can join in with me. Ready? The B-I-B-L-E, yes. You were in my class? That is so awesome. You know that story too? Oh, that's great. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, then at the very end, you have to go, oh, come on, do it like you mean it. What? Bible. There you go. See? And so as kids, right, we start off hearing about the Bible, knowing that we're supposed to read the Bible, but for somewhere along the line, we don't, and for somewhere along the line, the parents don't. Oftentimes, now again, I know it's not those of you that are part of C3 that are followers of Jesus Christ, it's those other people. But there are some that say they're followers of God that never read God's word at all. Or never, parents, never read it to your kids or talk about it with your kids. And we wonder why our kids don't know the Bible. It's because you are the first defense. You're like, well, no. I'm in church for crying out loud, or I'm watching church right now in my pajamas at home. That's totally fine. But anyway, I took my kid to the power kids room. They'll teach him about the Bible. They'll teach him all that. Yes, but it's like an hour once a week if you show up every week. But the reality is, you as the family unit, that's your responsibility. We come alongside to help. But it's you as the parents to help your kids to be in God's word and to be in it for yourself as well. Ooh, am I stepping on toes? Good. Because that's what toes are good for, to step on. And sometimes we got to be listening and understand that this is something that is a big deal to God. God says, hide my words in your heart. And so often we don't, and most people don't even look at God's word. How do they learn God's word? They come to church and listen to people like me who look it up in God's word. Well, so that's like I'm regurgitating to you. You know, have you ever seen a mother bird gurgitate food into a baby bird? That's nasty. That's just really nasty. that's in a sense what a lot of people do. You're like baby birds and just waiting for the pastors to just regurgitate the stuff into your mouth. God says, no, hide it in your heart. Be in it on your own. Apply it to yourself. That is what we are called to do. So today, I want to give us a few things. If you want to take notes, you can take notes on whatever you want to take on. Or if you have our app, C3 app, you can hit the tile there for the notes and it'll pop up. But here's some stuff I want us to give you. I'm going to be really practical today. But today I want to talk about if we commit time to God's word, we're going to see some differences in our lives. We're going to see things that happen. And number one is this. The first one, it will be God's word brings power. God's word brings power. Let me give you a verse. In Hebrews, it says this. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It does not say the word of God is dead and powerless. It says the word of God, God's word, scripture, the Bible, God's word is alive and powerful. To which some of you are saying, no, I think it's dead and powerless. Why? Because you are not in God's word. If you feel like that you have no power and you don't have life in God, could it possibly be that you are not in God's word? And please, let me help us with something. I'm not here to make you feel bad. What I want you to do today is say, the past is the past. But from this day forward, we're going to draw a line in the sand and then we're going to do something new. We're going to do better. We're going to be in God's word. We're going to listen to God. We're going to see what God wants to say to us as we are in his word. Because if we're going to know God, God shows us how we can know him. It's through his word. It's through the Bible. It's what he has given, his love language to us. Let me give you another one. Second one is this. God's word brings healing. God's word brings healing. Now, let me give you a verse here real quick. The verse I'm going to say is this. It's a psalm. It says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. Now, hold the verse here a second. So, he healed them. Some of you, when it comes to healing, there are people here in C3 who have had God touch them and actually literally heal them of a physical disease of some kind. We've had testimonies of that. Some of you see this and you're going, I don't believe that. Mark, I had a family member. I had a friend. I had an acquaintance. I knew somebody that had a health issue. They had surgery. They were in the hospital. They had medication. They had all this stuff. And yet, God did not heal them. They died from their disease, from their sickness, from their whatever. I don't think this is true, Mark. Can I just remind us of something? Listen. If you're a regular C3er, we say this all the time. The death rate is still around 100%. Scripture does say that it is once a time that every one of us will die. Everyone. Scripture tells us that. But here's what I really want you to look at. When we're talking about healing, and we're talking specifically right now about physical healing, and somebody that you know and love that died, and I've had people like that too that I know and love that have died as well, and I've been in that boat, and I've gone, God, why? You talk about healing, why? I believe in my heart from reading Scripture, I believe that there comes a time when somebody has battled something for so long that God just simply says, I'm going to bring him home. And can I tell you, and I want you to listen to this, can I tell you, at that moment that they leave this planet and step into eternity with God, they are more healed than ever on this planet. When God's talking about healing, he's not just talking about healing on this planet. It sometimes is healing in eternity with God. Because if, at some point it's going to happen to all of us. God promises healing one way or another. You know, it's like if you've seen like a a movie of like a war and stuff, and you see the medics come running to the hurt person, and they start bandages and all. That's what I'm picturing God. God sees our hurts. It could be physical. It could be relational. It could be emotional. It could be any kind of hurts. But God is always there with his bag coming to help you because he loves you and he cares for you. And he wants you to know his word, that there is healing for anything. And it may be in this life, but for sure it's going to be in the next life. There's always healing. God is a healing God. And then let me give you number three. Third thing is this: God's word brings direction. This is why we need to be in the Bible. God's word gives us direction on what to go and where to go. In fact, let me give you in Psalms. In Psalms, it says this. It says, your word, the Bible, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, stop and think about this. This is talking about direction. If you're lost in the dark, you light a lamp so you can see your feet, and it'll light the path on where to go. So tonight, when it's around 5 o'clock or so and it gets dark, and you're like outside and like, I don't know, I can't see anything, you take a flashlight or you turn on the light on your phone and you shine it, and you're going to have probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet that you can see. You can probably take 2 or 3 steps, and then you'll shine for the next 2 or 3 steps, and you just keep going. It gives you direction. When you and I are in God's word, you and I are getting direction. That's exactly what God does. When we're in God's word, it helps us, guides us, directs us to where we're supposed to be. We live in this planet, and we oftentimes think, God, why am I here? Why am I on the planet? What am I supposed to do? Maybe you're getting ready to graduate high school, and you're thinking, God, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go to college? What am I supposed to do for a living? God, what do you want me to do? And then you're thinking, when you're like young adults, you're like, God, should I get married? Should I marry that one or this? God, okay, now I'm married. So God, should we have kids? If so, how many? Do we have 2 kids, 4 kids, 6 dozen? I mean, how many kids do we have? I mean, we're just asking all these questions because we are wanting direction. And sometimes we ask stupid questions like, God, should we have a cat? The answer is always no. No, it's not. The answer is all. You don't even have to ask God that. That is immediate no. But everything else we get in Scripture, God gives us direction. He leads us to where he wants us. And how do we do it? When we're in God's word. There are times when you're reading in God's word, and I can't tell you how many times this happened to me, where it's like it's just jumping off the page, and it's like God is like in a megaphone telling me, this verse is for you, Mark. I mean, this has happened to me, and I know some of you could probably say the same thing. God's word is a light to our path and a lamp for our feet to help us, guide us, lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. But we would never know unless we are in God's word. Are you in God's word? You don't have to raise your hand or say out loud, but inside, here and those of you on home, inside, answer. Are you in God's word? Be honest with yourself. Are you in God's word? Are you learning about God? Are you getting to know him better by being in his word? Let me give you number four. God's word brings freedom. God's word brings freedom. In Luke, take a look at this verse. It says this: he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, for recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed. And let me ask you a question about this. Do you sometimes feel like that you don't have freedom and you're oppressed? Do you have a feeling like people are just like talking negative about you and just kind of pushing you down, and you're just sick and tired of it and you just don't know what to do? God is saying, look, I bring freedom, and I want to release you from the oppression that you're dealing with. This is what he does. See, the enemy, Satan, loves to just tie us up in knots and not know where to do and what to do and just be oppressed, repressed. But Jesus says, no, I came to free and release the oppressed. And you would never know that unless you're in God's word. This is one of the reasons why we need to be in God's word. This is something where God can release us of addictions, of pain, of guilt, of things that we've done in the past. God wants to free us. He can forgive us of that and say, okay, that's the past. Draw a line. From this day forward, it's going to be different. This is what God calls us to and tells us when we are in his word, the Bible. Do you want to be set free? God calls us to know and apply his word. Not just know it, but to also apply his word. In fact, let me give you Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, here's what it says. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. And then say this. Obey my commands and live. In other words, when we obey God's commands, we live. And then it goes on and says this. It says, guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers, and we're going to come back to that. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your hearts. Let me kind of explain this. Jews, centuries ago, actually did this. They would take parchment paper, and they would write like verses or stuff from what they had of the Bible at that time, and they would then tie it around their fingers, and they would also take a little box, and they would write on parchment paper different parts of the Bibles that they had at the time and put it in this little box and tied it around their head. You and I would look pretty silly doing that around here. But back then, that was something that they did. Why? Because that was their way to keep God's word with them, tied on their fingers and tied on this little box around their head. This is the way that they did this because they thought, if I put God's word right here and tie it on my head, then I will always be thinking about God. I'll always be focused on God. Today, in 2021, we have cell phones. And we can have the entire Bible on our phone and take it with us. But yet, this is what they did because they wanted to be reminded of God's word. What reminds you of God's word? Do you ever remember God's word? Do you ever even look at God's word? Or do you just come to church once in a while and hear it and go, that's good enough? See, God has something for you. That's why he wants each and every one of us to be in his word, because he speaks to us differently as we read different things. This is why we need to be in God's word. Now, I want to go real practical on some stuff now. I want to help you. Some practical tips to help us study the text. First thing, I'm going to just be very practical, is we got to choose a Bible. There are a lot of different Bibles. First of all, you got to figure out what's translation. Do you like King James? If you like the these and the thous, that's good for you. When I was growing up, the Sunday school, where the B-I-B-L-E song that I told you about, everything they taught us was in King James. I did not learn a blessed thing in there because I did not speak the these and the thous, and I didn't know what they were talking about. When the NIV came out, I'm like, oh, now it's in English, okay? So I thought that was good. So find a Bible, and there are so many different translations, and you could just pick whatever one you want. But then not only just look at the Bible from that, but look at there's other Bibles. Like there's study Bibles. There are Bibles, marriage Bibles, where everything about marriage, they have like extra pages that talks about how you can apply those verses to your marriage. Same thing with parenting. Same thing with leadership. There's all sorts of different Bibles that will have different focuses that will help you in whatever you want to do. So look for the right Bible that is for you. That is huge. There's a life application Bible. That's one I have. It just basically tells you when you here's a page, and then here's how you can apply it in your life. Here's what God's word says. Here's how you can apply it in your life. And it's helped me. So find a Bible that works really well for you. Then, here's the next thing. Once you've chosen a Bible, focus on the who, what, and why. So here's what I mean. When you read in God's word, when you're reading about a person and what happened to them and why, think about it. It could be a person who sinned, and this is what happened. Why did this happen? Well, because they sinned. So you look at the who, the what, and the why. That's what I oftentimes do when I'm reading. I'm looking at who is the person I'm reading about right now in this story, what happened to him, and why. Maybe there was a sin or something, and all of a sudden I may be doing something very similar to that. I'm like, okay, this is what happened to them. I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm not going to do what this person did. So you look at the who, the what, and the why to see what happened with them. And yet you apply that to your life. Then let me give you another one. Another great resource is the internet. The internet. The internet, now some people say, oh no, the internet's evil. No, it's not. It's not good or bad. It's amoral. It's how people use it. And I want to tell you, online, you will find a lot of different things. Here's just a few. Just a few. I could spend the rest of the day talking about these. But let me just give you a few. One is Bible Gateway. You can open up Bible Gateway, and then what you're going to find is you're going to see, you can look up any verse of the Bible, and you can do it in any different translations, all that kind of stuff. It has notes, all these different things. So that's a kind of an easy one. YouVersion. Anybody use the YouVersion? Okay. That is Y-O-U, YouVersion. That's a Bible app that is free that you can put on your phone. And not only can you read it in any translation, but it has all sorts of different plans that you can go through, like maybe a week-long plan on marriage, a week-long on work, and all these different things, raising kids, all that stuff. So it's got a lot of resources in the YouVersion. Daily Audio Bible, that's a friend of ours, Brian Harden. He's been here about 5 or 6 times. He goes around the world, and he does this Daily Audio Bible. You can get that down for free on an app, and he will read a chapter or 2 chapters throughout the Bible, and then he will just explain it, and he does a fabulous job at doing that. If you like to listen to somebody reading the Bible to you, Daily Audio Bible would be a great one for you. For me, this is a great one. Got Questions. Not God Questions, Got, G-O-T, Questions. If you have any questions about anything about God, about Scripture, about things in this world, they've got so many resources right there. I would highly recommend those for you. If you forget some of these or you want to find some others, go to our website, c3tricities.com, and you'll find resources, Bible resources, all stuff in there, and you can just click on it and go right to it after that. But this is what God's called us to do, be in His Word. And these are some things that will actually help us during this time. So let me give you Psalms. I'm going to give you a verse here. Psalm 42 says this. As the deer, now look at the painting of what they're saying. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. In other words, the deer is thirsty. And so the deer is looking for water to drink. So my soul pants for you, O God. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time your soul panted for God? When was the last time your soul just was crying out and needing God? Or do we just kind of only call out to God when we get in trouble? But the rest of the time, we just, well, I'll take it from here, God, thanks. When was the last time that you panted for God? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then look at this. When can I go and meet with God? I want to ask you that question. When was the last time you met with God? Well, Mark, I'm in church. No. I'm talking you personally by yourself. When was the last time you personally by yourself met with God? It was just you and God. It wasn't a few hundred people in a room with you. It was you and God. When was the last time you personally met with God? And if it's been a while, and you maybe can't even remember, then this whole day is for you. Because this is what we need to do. If we want to know God better, or if we just want to know God for the first time, God shows Himself through the Bible. This is His love letter to you and I. The thread goes through the whole thing. 40 different people, 1,500 years. And yet there's one thread through the whole thing. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He wants a relationship with you. And He wants you to have a relationship with Him. And He wants you to be in eternity with him forever and forever. See, here's one of the things. We know God's word is not for knowledge. Now, whoa, hey, time out, Mark, wait a minute. I thought we would read the Bible and we know God's word for knowledge. Because I love to know all the answers so I can tell other people what they're doing wrong, right? We love to do that, don't we? But the reality is, this is not why we read the Bible. In fact, if you remember when Jesus was on the planet and he was doing his 3-year earthly ministry, he had these guys that were always against him. They were the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were always against Jesus because Jesus always said the opposite of whatever they did. Now, here's the thing. The religious leaders, they knew the knowledge. But what they did with the knowledge is beat up other people. Well, you're not doing it as good as we are. And there was just knowledge, just beating people down. And that is not why we read the Bible for knowledge. Instead, we know God's word. We know God's word so that we can meet God. Boom, let's put that one up there. And again, there we go. That's why we do it. You don't read God's word for knowledge. We read God's word so we can meet with God. That's why we do it. We are there to meet God. As we read God's word, God is speaking to us. If we are focused on what we're doing, he's speaking to us. He's telling us what we should or should not do. Again, let me ask you the question. When was the last time that you have met with God? Let me give you a verse. It says, we know that we have come to know him, meaning God, if we obey his commands. Now listen to this. We know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. Whoever says I know him, but does not do what the commands is, a liar. So if you're not doing what Jesus is saying, you are a liar. And the truth is not in that person. And then it goes on. Whew, if it's not enough. Then it goes on and says this. But if anyone obeys his word, God's word is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as what? Say it again. What? As Jesus did. We are to obey his words. We are to live as Jesus did. If we do not, but we say we are a liar. See, you wouldn't have known that unless I put this verse from the Bible up here. That is why we need to be in God's word. That is why we need to understand and read it and apply it to our life. This is how we get to know God better. Or if you don't know God and you want to go get to know God, this is how you do it. This is the starting point. He wrote this book for us to know who he is. If you don't feel close to God, who moved? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't God. If you don't feel close to God anymore, somebody moved and it wasn't God. Now, I'm not here to beat us all up because I could do better myself as well. But I'm going to tell you this. Beating us up doesn't do any good. But we just simply say, we're putting a line in the sand, and from this day forward, we are going to do better. Let's pray. So, Father, right now, we thank you for your word. Oh, God, thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for having the Bible written and having this thread over all these people and all these years, and yet it's a continuous thread. It's amazing how it happened. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a hunger for your word, a hunger to listen to your word, to read it, to apply it, to speak it to our children. Lord, would you help us and would you speak to us and give us direction and help us to know you better? We want to meet with you, God. And one of the ways we do it is through your word. So, Father, today we pause because there are some today that have known you before but have fallen away, and there are some that have never known you but they want to know you. And so today we just simply pause and we bow our heart and we confess our sin. And we say, God, forgive me for each and every sin I have ever done. I am so sorry. I cannot take away my sins. I need a Savior. That is you, Jesus. Thank you that you take my sins and you allow me to come into relationship with you now and into eternity. And Lord, I'm so thankful for that. For those that right now, either online or in person right now, are bowing their heart and saying yes to you. Lord, we celebrate that. Would you help us as we go through this year to always go through this year meeting with you by being in your word? And we say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.